Writing a book is the single thing that can cement your legacy. Unfortunately, when people pass away, people are probably gonna remember you for another year. When you have the book, all of the work that you've done gets to live forever. Your book gets to go places that the internet can't go because not everybody's on the internet. This is an idea that a lot of people might have thought of in their head and was like, no, I'm not gonna do it. He wrote the book one time, probably as a joke, but I could promise you he's making 5 figures a month off of this book alone.
It has to work where it has to work.
Welcome to Circle of Greatness. I'm your host, Nehemiah Davis. And today we got the king of self-publishing.
Let's go.
Here.
Let's go.
Man, he been pressing me. Yo, you got to do a book. You got to do a book. You got to do a book. Ash, I don't got a lot of time. A week later, he helped me do my whole book. Yeah. Done. Exactly. I'm talking about completely done. And it's scheduled to release. So I'm really excited about that. But without further ado, man, author of dozens of books. Help dozens of people create books. And he's the go-to guy when it comes to publishing a book. So many people want to know how to get it done. Just contact him. Right. Without further ado, my brother, Ash Cash. What's up, my guy?
It's a good work.
Man, thanks for coming on.
Yo, listen, and here's the other thing. Off the gate, yeah. You can't chat GPT what I do. Mm. You can't just, oh, I'm going to put it on Amazon. And like what I do, I've been writing books for 15 years. I've sold over 250,000 books independently. David Goggins, I'm coming for you, right? So David Goggins is the only person, right? I call myself the king of self-publishing. David Goggins is the only person I know that has put out a book as a self-published author. I think he's at like, what, 6 million, 7
million? 7
million. 7 million books as an independent author. And people, like, he should be studied. He's who, like, I'm coming for you, David Goggins. But at the end of the day, I think people think that because of ChatGPT, that it's easy. It's not easy, but so you can't Google what I know. You can't ChatGPT what I know. But I will boldly state before we even start. I will boldly state that writing a book is the single thing that can cement your legacy.
Wow.
It's
what
the
you
single
mean by
thing.
That? Cement your legacy.
So I'll give you a prime example, right? So you know when you think about influencers, right? I hate to call myself an influencer, but I influence people. You influence people, right? So when you think about influencers, a lot of us have been able to make a lot of money really, really fast, get a lot of influence because of the internet, right? No more gatekeepers. We could just go out there and spread our word. What we all should realize, right? If you're an aspiring influencer, if you want to be a digital marketer, whatever, I know. It's a lot of work. We make it look easy because we got the cameras and all that stuff. And so it looks like it's an easy thing. But it's a lot of work. Like you have to continue to grind. But at the same time, there's always someone behind you watching you who wants your spot. Whether you realize it or not, somebody wants to be, be the next circle of greatness. Somebody else wants to be the circle CEO. Somebody wants to be the Him 500. Somebody right. wants to be the next Mr. 2 Weeks Out, right? And what happens is it's a constant grind. So imagine if you just, whatever, you got a health scare, or you just want to relax, you want to take some time off, you lose that spot. I promise you, people will forget you. Mm. Nobody's going to remember you. Nobody's going to look at you and say, yo, I remember, yo, back in XYZ time, this guy was, they was killing it. No, they're going to forget you because there's going to be a new group of people in town. Think about Lil Wayne. No disrespect to Lil Wayne. Lil Wayne is one of the greatest rappers alive, right? He took some time off. Guess what happened? Future, Young Thug, Gunna, right? And so there's a new generation that doesn't look at Lil Wayne like, yo, Lil Wayne is the guy. And so same thing in the influencer world where there are people who are waiting for your spot. And so what happens? But guess what? Guess what you can't do about Lil Wayne? Lil Wayne still got the Carter. Lil Wayne still got the Carter 3, right? So now he got classic albums that if you ever forget, you could always go back to the classic albums and say, yo, nah, he did that.
And he could tour just on the albums. He on don't album never alone. Have to create another new piece of music.
Absolutely, right? And so same thing with books. I've been writing books since 2009, right? Yo, I get paid off of books.
How many books you got?
20. And wow. So these are all of my best sellers, right?
Wow.
But I got 20 books and I've been writing books for a long time. And so guess what? If any moment, if I decide to just sit back, at any moment I could get popping again. You know why? Because now I have access to places that other influencers can't go, right? Y'all don't understand the TV game. The TV doesn't just bring people on. Think about everybody that you've seen on television. They're promoting something, right? So salute to our brothers at EYL. When EYL is on television, nobody's just like, we want to interview you. No, they're promoting their book. They're promoting InvestFest. They're promoting something, right?
They're not just on there to be kicking,
right, talking about Market Mondays, talking about their podcast. They're talking about an actual product. And so when you think about, you know, books, it helps you live forever, right? Napoleon Hill wrote Think and Grow Rich 84 years ago. Wow. He died in the 70s, over 50 years ago. You go to Amazon right now, you know, Think and Grow Rich is still the number one bestseller. And so I believe that, you know, a book, you know, leaves your legacy. I think that, you know, again, unfortunately, when people pass away, people are probably going to remember you for another year, a month, maybe.
Maybe.
Right?
You're lucky a month.
Yeah. Right. But, you know, when you have the book, all of the work that you've done gets to live forever. Your book gets to go places that the internet can't go because not everybody's on the internet. You know, think about schools, think about conferences, think about, you know, all these different places that your book could go. And so I think that it's the single thing that anybody could do to cement their legacy is write a book.
Wow, that's good. Yo, it's so funny. I wanted to do the math on that 7 million. He sell them books for about $25, $30. I'm going to say 7 million.
And then minus the cost, which can't be more than like $4.
I'm gonna just say 7 million by the end of the day. You taking home 12.
12.
And that's low.
That's low. Yep.
Times 12. $84 million off of how many times he wrote the story?
One time. Yeah. And that's the other thing. I don't think people realize, right? You got to keep doing your 5-day challenges. You got to keep doing your webinars. You got to keep doing all these different things. So imagine writing a book and then going on a podcast run, right? That book is going to continue to sell, right? And that's what David Goggins did, right? He was able to go on a Joe Rogan's and all these big platforms, sell these books, and now it's residual. To the point, though, here's the other thing, though, too. To the point that books have a compounder, right? And what do I mean by that? When somebody takes your 5-day challenge or somebody takes your webinar or whatever, the odds of somebody going back to their friends and saying, yo, I just sat on this 5-day challenge, go check it out, is very small.
Yeah.
How many times have you read a book and somebody says, yo, I just read this book without you? Yo, I just read this book. You need to check out Abundance Is Your Birthright by Ashcash, right? If you go to my Amazon right now, I have, you know, thousands of 5-star reviews. So at some point, put my hashtag in, and I see people that I don't even know who are promoting my book, who have book clubs, who are, you know, taking my principles and teaching them, you know, without me. And so it's the multiplier. Also, it allows other people to spread your word without you, you know, actually having to be there.
That's powerful. It's funny. One of my favorite questions that I ask people is, it's two. What comes easy to you and harder to others, right? That's your gift, as Steve Harvey say. But the other one is, this is by far one of the most powerful questions that I've learned. What can you create one time that'll pay you forever?
Facts, yeah.
Just the idea that you could write and create a book one time and never have to touch it again?
Yeah. And that's the other thing, though, too, is I think that's also a unique thing about a book is the fact that it allows you to input your story into what you're doing, right? Because you had a networking event the other day, and we were at the networking event, and I want to say maybe like 5 or 6 people. Everybody kept coming up to me like, oh, I do credit repair. Oh, I do credit repair. I do credit repair. I don't remember none of y'all. Respectfully, like, I don't remember none of y'all, because there's nothing unique about credit repair that makes me remember you, right? But I spoke to a young lady who says, hey, I do credit repair, but I use the credit repair to help you create multiple streams of income. That made me, I was like, oh, that's fire. Why is it fire? Because I'm not just fixing your credit. I'm fixing your credit, but then I'm going to take me fixing your credit and create, you know, help you create more money so that you never have credit issues again, right? And so now, you know, I'm like, yo, you need a book, right? Because now what happens is when you go to, you know, a television, when you go to a podcast, you go to a radio, you're not promoting, hey, I do credit repair. You're promoting, hey, I help people who work a 9-to-5 create multiple streams of income. Now, when somebody hears that, oh my God, I work a 9-to-5. I want multiple streams of income. Let me check out what you got going on. And then I sell you my credit repair. And then I sell you my course. And then I sell you my high ticket. And that's the other piece of it, though, also, is that you're always fighting for the same, you're using the same tactics fighting for the same people. But imagine you're able to still do your internet stuff, but still be able, again, go to the schools, go to the conferences, right? And think of where most of the people on the internet live. They probably got jobs, right? So imagine, you know, I have a book that I'm teaching you about, you know, managing your finances, and then I go to your, you know, your employment resource group, right? Your ERG. So this is a hack right here, right? Most major corporations have what's called ERGs, employee resource groups. And the ERGs, their goal is to bring in outside guests to help the employees with something that they're working on, right? And so imagine you have a message, you have a story, you have something that could connect with people, and you go to Google, you go to YouTube, you go to, you know, Con Edison, whatever big corporation, and you go to the employee resource group and say, hey, I want to talk to your group about XYZ. Now you go in there, and now these are thousands of employees who probably never heard of you before, but because you have a book, because you have a product that you can talk to them about, they'll listen to you, right? They're not gonna bring in somebody who says, oh, hey, I do credit repair. They're not gonna bring in somebody who says, hey, I'm a, you know, I do digital marketing. They're gonna bring in somebody who has something stamped, right? That's the reason why we wrote the foundation, right? Because I don't know nobody that gives more than you. Right. So yes, people might see, you know, all of the stuff that you have, right? But they don't know your heart. They don't know that you give.
Right.
So I'm watching you, right? And me understanding nonprofits, I'm watching you put money, like hundreds of thousands of dollars, out your pocket to serve the community, where at the end of the day, imagine, and nobody knows about it unless they follow you.
Right.
Right? Like, nobody knows that you haven't really been on television, you haven't been on radio, you haven't been promoting that, no gala, no nothing. So imagine we write a book, right? And the book tells people how you make money, but the book also says, look, this is how I give back. Right. So now you're giving people something. You're saying, hey, get this book. I'm going to teach you how to make money online. And I'm going to teach you how to give back. Number one. And a portion of this, of the proceeds of this book, are now going to go back to my foundation.
Mm.
Right. So now what do? We say, OK, great. I'm going to go to corporations, and I'm going to now show all the work that you've been doing already. And I'm going to say, yo, can you buy 1,000 books? Can you buy 5,000 books? Because this book will help your employees create another stream of income for themselves while they're working here, right? And this donation, right? Because big corporations have corporate responsibility. They have to spend on foundations, right? Mm. And so now every book that they buy now goes back to the foundation. So now you've created a product that you can actually sell. And the proceeds of that go back to your foundation, and awesome. and the money that goes to the foundation can now serve more people.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
And so at the end of the day, guess what? Now we can get you on television. Now we can get you on podcasts. Now we can get you on radio, right? We can get you on these things talking about all the good things that you're doing, right? Now we can say, hey, we want to take this from Atlanta. We want to go to Philly. We want to go to New York. Now we're doing a national movement, right? You know, moguls on the move.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is, this single thing, this one thing that you wrote
it
one time.
Amplifies everything. Wow. You break it down. Wow, that's it really makes me understand the importance of getting a book done.
1,000%.
Yo, if y'all looking at this right now, I want y'all to go to kingofselfpublishing.com right now so you can go in and figure out how you can work with this guy. You need a book. I don't care if it's even a thought of, I'm not ready yet, because I had that thought before.
Yeah.
Just get the book done, because you're either looking to cement your legacy, you're either looking to become known, or you're going to use this as a vehicle to make you an authority and put you on more stages. Because again, the more stages you're on, the more money you make. So go to kingofselfpublishing.com to check out Ash. So man, Ash, man, you 20 different books.
Yeah.
And you brought this book being funny. No. I don't know if you wanted to
no,
talk
no, we can
about
show
this,
it. So this, look. I saw this on the internet and I bought it, right? Because I want to show y'all how you are allowing, right, Mark Thunder, we salute the Mark Thunder, make thousands of dollars off of an idea that he just executed on.
Yeah.
A lot of y'all are making no money because you're not executing. He wrote a book called These Big Nuts. Right? These Big Nuts, right? Look, wait, hold on. We go to the first page, right?
Oh, man.
And it says, D was a squirrel who had big nuts. His nut sack was so big that it would drag on the ground everywhere he went. D had a friend named Sarah who loved nuts. Sarah would go around the town trying to put everyone nuts in her mouth.
Yo, man.
Sarah loved how big D's nuts were. His nuts were her favorite. So that's it, right? Yeah. But think about this.
And they just for context, they talking about squirrel nuts too.
Like this is a physical squirrel. Right.
This is
a squirrel.
But it's still crazy though.
Correct.
And he's
correct.
Selling a bunch of these.
When I tell you, when I went to go look it up, you can look at rankings on Amazon. And his ranking was a number one bestseller. He had over like 3,000 five-star reviews.
Yeah.
And to me, This is an idea that a lot of people might have thought of in their head and was like, no, I'm not going to do it. He wrote the book one time, probably as a joke, but I could promise you he's making five figures a month off of this book alone.
Wow.
And not because of his doing. Because I didn't see the reel on his page. It was somebody else, right, who thought it was funny and they posted it and I saw it and I bought it. Right? We're on the show right now. Someone who probably just going to watch this right now. I don't know Mark Thunder.
Yeah, neither do I.
I have no affiliation with him. But guess what? Somebody's going to watch this podcast. They're going to laugh. They're going to think that this is a great joke. They're going to buy it for their adult friends. Something they're going to do. And now we just sold him maybe 1,000 more copies.
Easily.
He did nothing, though.
Yeah. It's crazy.
The power of writing something one time. And that's the other thing. This is the other thing that I want to say, though, too. And this is why I say you can't Google or ChatGPT what I do, because most people have a story and they want to write their story and that's all they care about. They care about their story and they say, I'm going to write a book. And you know how many books out there that are horribly written? Because I'm going to tell you, nobody cares about your story. The only thing people care about is what your story could do for them.
Ooh.
And so a lot of times people write books because of their ego. Oh, I want to tell my story, which is fine. Yes, you could tell your story, but you got to tell your story in a way that people care about, right? And so I have a book, I'm so upset that I didn't bring it, but I have a book called From the Block to the Bank, which is my story, right? You know, grew up in the hood, was a CEO of a credit union. I wrote a book from the block to the bank. But it's my story, but the book is about how you can maximize your full potential. And so what people got to realize is how do I put my story in, right? How do I write a book and put my story into it? But how do I help someone, right? Dana Christian, friend to the room. You know, I helped her write her book. You know, we
credit card millionaire one.
Credit card millionaire.
Yeah, that's a good title,
right?
Too.
Think about it. That credit card fire. Millionaire. You think
it's already out, right?
It's already out.
Yeah.
And think about that, right?
Shout out to Dana Christian too.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and so she was able to tell her story. She tells her story about, you know, working at the post office, being a teenage mom, having two felonies, like everything that she's been through is in the book. But when you read the title, it don't say the Dana Christian story, right? It say credit card millionaire.
I'm gonna pick that up because of that title.
It's a great title because you're like credit card millionaire, and it's teaching you how she became a millionaire using credit cards and how you can do the same thing. And so somebody who picks that up is gonna look at it and they're gonna read it and they're gonna be like, oh my God, I can relate to her, right? Because her story is relatable, but she's also given me gems on how, you know, I could implement what she's done in her life, and I could implement it in my life as well. And so I think that's the important part. And there's other tactics to it, right? And so when I sit with somebody, I listen to their story, I listen to what they do. And then in my mind, I say, how do I mix their story with what they do in a way that is marketable? Because when you think about Robert Kiyosaki, he says this all the time. I'm not the best writing author. I'm the best selling author. Which means what? Which means that once your book is done, you got to create a way that this book is going to sell. And I'd rather it sell without you. You know what I'm saying? And so my gift is really how, like again, I have the receipts to do it. My gift is really the marketing. My gift is how do we market your story in a way that makes strangers, right? Makes strangers, not your friends and family. Because that's the other piece of it. I think that a lot of authors are delusioned because they write a book. Their friends and family are, oh, I'm so proud of you. So the first 2 weeks, you sell 100 copies. You sell 200 copies. You sell copies. And then all of a sudden, it goes flat. Why? Because you did not keep the customer in mind. I don't care about my friends and family when I write a book. I actually make sure that if I write a book, I want to write a book that if you don't know me, right, you're going to want to pick up this book, right? So my wife and I wrote a book together called The Abundance Formula, right? You know, if you don't know who Dr. Claude Anderson is, he's an OG, he wrote Powernomics. We had the opportunity to sit with him and his wife, and we loved how passionate he is in his late 80s, really, really passionate. And so we said, yo, we got to do more, right? We got to do more for our community. And so we decided to write this book together called The Abundance Formula. 9 proven steps to build Black family wealth, protect your legacy, and empower generations. You do not need to know who Ash Cash is. You don't need to know who Amina Phelps is. You can never know us. But if you're a Black family and you saw this, right, it's intentional. We put our faces, like my wife is really behind the scenes. So she actually hated that I put her face on the cover, right? She hated it. But if you see you see a Black couple, which is under attack, you know what I'm saying? Like in the media, you see that on the book cover, it's automatically going to attract you. Now you read it, you're like, the abundance formula. Okay, what is the abundance formula? Now you're saying 9 proven steps to build Black family wealth, protect your legacy, and empower generations. Why wouldn't somebody pick this up? Why wouldn't a church pick up a bunch of copies of this and their marriage ministry all read it together? Why wouldn't a book club of couples? Why wouldn't couples go on a retreat, right? And so it don't matter. Like me being an author don't matter, right? So that's the other mindset that you have to have is, can I write a book that if nobody knew who I was, it would still sell because of the content that's in the book?
That's good.
Yeah.
Man, you about to make me write more books.
I need
more books.
And
I need to bring the books out that I already got.
Right.
I already got a bunch of children's books. I need to bring them out of the crates.
Yep. And children's books do well. My wife wrote 9 children's books, easily makes 5 figures off of her books.
Let me ask you this question. So it's funny, I'm sitting here thinking, name a couple of your favorite children's books.
Well, Dr. Seuss.
Dr. Seuss. That's all it. I'm thinking about. Yeah. That's all I would.
Killer. And Dr. Seuss is dead. And Dr. Seuss is no longer living.
Probably made billions.
Billions. True story. True story.
That's crazy. And everybody looking at this, I want you to go in the comment section and drop your favorite childhood book. Exactly. And I almost can assure you they wrote it one time.
Yep.
It's probably still selling today.
Yep.
It's crazy.
And that's the other thing that, you know, I'm glad that you said that you got to bring the books back out, because that's the other thing about it, right? Because I interact with influencers and people who have influence, celebrities all the time, and they always like, yo, you know what? I ain't gonna write a book first. I'm gonna do an ebook, right? And my first question is, have you ever bought an ebook? They say, yeah. I said, how many times have you sent that ebook to somebody else? Never. You got the ebook. You probably read it one time. You probably never go back and look at it again, but you have never shared it. You never say, oh, I'm going to email this to all my friends, right? Now, think about how many times books get passed around. All the time. And so even if somebody has written an ebook, nobody cares about your ebook. Ebooks are not shareable. Ebooks don't get you on stage. You can't go to Black Enterprise or some national conference and say, yo, I got this ebook. It's going crazy. No. Yo, I got this paperback book. I'm the author of The Abundance Formula, available on Amazon.com. And that's the other piece of it. You know, a lot of people, you know, authors, and this is one of my biggest pet peeves, that a lot of author coaches, they always advise their clients to don't put their book on Amazon, only sell it from their website. They talk about the
talk about that, because I wouldn't know about that. Because I was probably one of them. I'm like, yeah. Why go on Amazon if you're not getting none of the data? So explain to me.
It's one of the worst advice that I believe, respectfully, that somebody could give about books for a couple of reasons, right? Because the truth of the matter is, if, let's just say, you know, you're from Philly, I'm from New York. Let's just say somebody bought your book. Not from Harlem, baby. Don't do that.
You from Staten Island.
Don't do that. I'm from Harlem, baby. The middle of the peas. You know what I'm saying? But imagine if somebody in New York bought my book and they sit on the train and they're reading my book. And somebody.
The quickest way to cement your legacy right now, if you're a coach, consultant, course creator, or a business owner, is to write your own book. You have to find a way to separate yourself from what everyone else is doing. I want you to go to kingofselfpublishing.com right now to check out my brother Ash Cash. This guy has published over 20 or 30 books and has helped hundreds of people just like you get into the game. Go to kingofselfpublishing.com right now and see how he can help.
Who doesn't know them say, oh, that looks like an interesting book. And they go to Amazon and your book is not there. Well, you just lost 100% of that sale. You're never going to get that sale, right? Because they're never going to say, damn, what was that person's name again?
Blah, blah. Right.
Like, they're just going to forget about it and they're going to move on. So that's number one. Number one is you want your book to be everywhere because people only buy stuff from where they frequently buy stuff, right?
True.
So, for instance, if I only buy books from Amazon, I'm not going to your website to buy books. In fact, I know a lot of people do this, right? Let's say I'm scrolling on Instagram and there's a product or service that I see that I'm like, oh my God, this is dope. I don't hit a buy now. You know what I do? I go to Amazon and I type in the name of the product and see if Amazon has it. Why? Because I trust Amazon.
Credibility.
I don't want to put my credit card information on the
website. I'm gonna get it fast.
I'm gonna get it fast. I got Amazon Prime. So I only go there. You sent me your mixtape the other day. You sent it to me on Apple. I don't have Apple.
Yep. You said Tidal.
I went to Tidal.
And it was on Tidal too,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Yeah. But imagine if it wasn't though.
Wow.
I'm not gonna.
Is there a reason why you don't have Apple, or you just?
I'm a J fan.
Got it.
You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? I'm a J fan. The wake up call. Financial lessons with 444. Yeah. So when Jay, I know he don't own it no more. You know what I'm saying?
But he did.
But when he did own it, I was like, yo, I never met Jay. I met Jay once, but. That's
where
my
you meet
man
him at?
Still.
No? Huh? Where you meet him at?
At Apollo.
Okay.
Yeah. So he's on Hunter 50.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So one time I met Jay. So that's my man still. Even if I didn't meet, you know what I'm saying? It wasn't even know, like, yo, I'm Ash Cash. It was a dap. Like,
yeah,
yo, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
One time, but that's my man. So if he on Tidal, I'm on Tidal. So imagine if your mixtape was only on Apple.
Right.
You would have said, yo, go download my mixtape. I'm not downloading it from that. So that's the equivalent to books.
That's smart.
It's like, yo, yes, right? If you know me, I always tell people go to my website to get my books. Go to ashcashbooks.com. I sell those books directly, right? But at the end of the day, my books are on Amazon. They're in Walmart. Can I say Target? It's in Target, but can I say it? I don't know if it's still fasting or not.
I don't go to Target.
They're in Target. They're in independent bookstores. They're in the libraries, right? And so I even do audiobooks, right? Because my Uber drivers and my truck drivers, they need access to it. So what people don't realize is that if I go on Sway in the Morning, if I go on a Breakfast Club, if I go on any platform and I'm just talking about my book, again, people are only going to go to where they know. And so the problem is that authors don't, you know, Myron says this all the time, right? Amateurs get paid on the front end. Professionals know how to get paid on the back end. So what happens is you don't know how to write the right book, which is why I say you can't ChatGPT what I do. Because the truth is, I don't care where you buy the book at, right? Because I'm going to hook you so much. I'm going to give you so much game, but I'm going to give you resources that you're going to find me anyway. Right? And so, yes, you gave me $20 for this book. Or if I went to Amazon, I might have made $2 off the book. I don't care. Why? Because if my book is impactful enough, you will say, yo, I like this Ash Cash guy. Let me follow him. Let me go to his YouTube. Let me watch his podcast. And then once you get connected to me, I have other products
and you
services
got stuff
to offer
in the book
anyway.
Advertising what you do anyhow.
Exactly. Exactly. And so
I'm converted now. I'm going to Amazon.
You know what I'm trying to say? You have to.
I'm really going to go put every. So what's the process right now? I got 3-4 books.
Yeah.
How do I just go get them all on Amazon?
Yeah. So Amazon has a self-publishing platform called Kindle Direct Publishing, KDP. It used to be CreateSpace for my OG authors out there. But you just go to kdp.amazon.com and then you put your book on there. But here's the thing. Before you do that, though, you have to have your own ISBN number.
Yeah, I got all of it.
Yeah. So you get your own ISBN number. You go to Bowker.com or myidentifiers.com. Yep. Bowker is
the company. I'm familiar with that.
You get your ISBN number. And the reason why you do that, because a lot of times, again, people don't know the game. They go to Amazon and they let Amazon give them the ISBN number. Yeah, but now Amazon owns it.
Yeah.
And now you can't go to the other platforms, right? And so now go to kdp.amazon.com, publish your book on there, but only use Amazon. Only use Amazon for Amazon. Amazon has an option that says extended distribution. Do not use that.
That's good.
And they said, I'm about to give y'all a game, right? Because extended distribution is really Ingram, right? Ingram is the largest book distributor. They distribute all the books to the libraries, to all thousands of independent bookstores, to Barnes & Nobles, to the Walmarts, to the Targets. And they created a print-on-demand service called Ingram Spark. And so now, publish your book on Amazon using KDP, but also publish your book on Ingram Spark. And when you publish your book on Ingram Spark, now it allows the distribution to go to the Barnes & Nobles, to the Walmarts, to the Targets. And the great thing about, let's just say Barnes & Nobles, right? Barnes & Nobles just started opening up new stores because people think that because we're in a digital world that people don't buy physical copies anymore. That's actually a lie. There's actually more physical copies of books being sold more than 20 years ago. Why? Mm. Because there's so much noise on the internet. This is where you have your peace. Right? When you go in the pool, most people don't, like, if you're on the beach on vacation, most people don't want their phones. They want a book, right? And so books
are being sold.
Disconnect. You know what I'm saying? And so now Barnes & Nobles are opening all of these stores. So imagine now.
They open the stores?
They still opening up stores because there's a reverse trend happening where people want that, you know, they want tranquility. They want to go to the book. They want to, you know, like people, like.
I'm a physical book reader.
Exactly.
Personally.
And people don't throw books away though.
Yeah, my
like,
library
I got books
extensive.
In my house that I'm like, yo, I know. Like, it's just something about books that I'm not going to get rid of it. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, imagine going to, you know, Barnes & Nobles and saying, hey, I want to do a book signing at your bookstore. If they look, they have a protocol. If they look online and your book is not available, they're not going to order it. You know what I'm saying? So it just gives you more opportunity. So you go kdp.amazon.com and then also do Ingram Spark. And then
ISBN, do it have to be for Amazon or I already have the ISBN?
Yeah,
you got to create a new one for.
No. So if you bought your ISBN number from Bowker, then you can use it anywhere.
All right,
and so now it's registered with Bowker and you can use it on Amazon and Ingram Spark.
Okay. Yeah. Let me ask you this. AI.
Yeah.
AI and books.
It. Yeah.
You're knocking out books in the weekend. You're knocking out books in a week. I'm assuming there's a lot of AI involved
for sure,
1,000%,
in that. Yeah.
But what you're saying is AI involved in that, but your processes and your prompts and your strategy, that is the thing that I guess is proprietary.
No, for sure. Because it's almost saying that just because you could go to Home Depot and buy a drill that you could build a house. You know what I mean? Like the drill is just a tool. You have to be a skilled carpenter in order to build a house.
Mm,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So while AI will help you do things faster, it doesn't replace the knowledge that you must have in order for it to go right. So for me, I use AI, right? And it's to the point, I'll give you my process, right? My process is really simple. My process is, I said this earlier, I look at what you do. I look at who you are, meaning your story. I put it together and I come up with ideas of what would be a good book for marketing. So I might ask ChatGPT. I might say, hey, you know, Nehemiah Davis is one of the best digital marketers that I know. He's from West Philly, you know, raising a single parent home. How can I mix those two together in order to come up with a story, right? And so it might tell me, oh, let's talk about, you know, how you could sustain success or how can you come from the bottom, whatever it is, whatever it gives me. And then now I start telling it the different products and services that you offer, right? And so now I say you provide all these different products and services. So now I have all of what you do, right, with this idea, with this title. And from there, I come up with a set of questions. Those set of questions, all I need is an hour of your time, right? I start interviewing you and start asking you, you know, all about your life and things of that nature, and then I'm able to take your life story. I take the details of what you do. I put those together, and then now I have a book that it starts to develop the book. The other piece of it, though, is that ChatGPT or any other AI that you use only could do what you tell it. Like, it's not going to assume, right? It's not going to assume that you want this book to be in this style or you want it to read it this way or whatever. And so if you don't understand what sells books, if you're not a reader of books, if you don't know what makes a good book, then you're going to put it together and no one's ever going to buy it because they're going to read it. It's not going to be exciting enough. It's not going to captivate them or do anything like that. And so for me, even when, you know, AI delivers a book, I read it. Like people don't know, like we help clients all the time. You know how many times we have to go back and forth, do different drafts because it's like, nah, it doesn't capture the way I want it to do. So there's still that process. The only thing is that it allows that process to be faster, right? Because I've been doing this for a while. Like we've helped ghost write a lot of books for celebrities and things of that nature. Even when we did that, I had a full-time ghostwriter on my staff. And so what we would do is, you know, I would do the interview. We would send the information to the ghostwriter. Ghostwriter would write it. And then, but that would take weeks, though.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And so from that, now that, like, so now it would take months to get a book out. This is why I could do it in 5 days, right? Because if I, you know, interview somebody in about an hour, I get the information in the same day or next day even sometimes, and then now they can review it, and so the process is just faster. So I think AI has made the process easier, but it doesn't remove the human touch to make sure that, because at the end of the day, AI is not going to read the book. It's the human that's going to read the book, and we got to make sure that the human is captivated and enjoys this book.
That's good, man. Just what you're able to do now with AI, bro, if you don't have ChatGPT on your phone, you're getting left right now.
Yeah, getting left, for sure.
Bro, the way I'm using it now every day.
Yo, but that's the other thing, right? Because it's almost like, you know how you used to, I mean, you still say, success loves speed?
Yeah.
Yo, ChatGPT takes that to the next level because that's the other piece of it, right? Because when I used to hear that saying, yo, success loves speed, especially from you, I'd be like, yo, bro, but you got a team of 30 people, yeah, right? So, like, we'll literally be on a basketball court, come up with an idea, you'll make a phone call, and then somebody from your team will execute. So by the time we're off the court,
yeah, it's done.
It's done.
Yeah.
So, yeah, success loves speed, but that's if you have the team, right? So somebody, like, at the time, because I have a team now, but at the time, I didn't have a team. So you're like, yo, do your ass. You need to do this. I'm like, nigga, like, that's going to take, I ain't going to be able to do it.
Yeah.
Because I got this other stuff that I still got to do. And then I got to take some time. So now I'm a one-man army. Now, right, there was a time you told me to do something. And I was like, oh, I asked Chat. Chat gave me everything I needed. And so now your team, I'm not saying been replaced, but now I'm able to have the same amount of swiftness with a system that I'm only paying $20 a month for.
It makes, bro, what you can do now, it makes no sense what you could do. You can do so much right now with this concept.
Yeah, and you know, and it's almost like I look at ChatGPT and AI like Uber, like Airbnb, right? You think about back in the day where if you wanted a private car service, you had to be rich to have it. Yo, now if I don't feel like driving, right? If I don't feel like driving my car, I simply could order an Uber. Like, I could have a black car pick me up and drop me off whenever I want to and feel like I'm rich. I mean, I'm rich, but yeah. But you know what I'm saying? So think about that, right? Think about, like, Airbnb. Like, you couldn't walk into a mansion unless you knew somebody. Now you can rent out a mansion. So now
everything's changing.
Everything. These experiences, these luxury experiences that we thought that we had to wait to have, we can have them right now. And that's what AI is doing. So to your point, if you're not using it on a daily basis, though, I'm not, like, not sometimes, not when you have projects. I'm saying if you're not using ChatGPT on a daily basis, you're being left behind.
Like, you know, people will be eliminated from jobs.
Oh, 1,000%.
So, I mean, workforces are going to be cut in half. I was watching we're driving the other day going to the gym, These cars are driving themselves.
Bro. That's crazy. Like, and but that's the thing that people need to realize. And you know, I mean, so my background, for those who don't know, I was a banker. I still, like, most of my books are on financial literacy and making money. And that's, like, what I used to say 15 years ago, is true today. I say that you need to change your relationship with money, right? Instead of working hard for money, money needs to work hard for you. And now I'm talking about the urgency in that right now. It's so urgent that you do that. That's why you have to write your book. That's why you have to, you know, put a product out there, mixtape, whatever it is. Create something one time and allow it to sell over and over and over again. Because to that point, right, if you are relying on your physical labor to make money, I'm telling you, I want to guess in the next 5 years that'll be obsolete. I want to guess in the next 5 years because the thing about AI and technology is speeding up everything. And so anything that you can do, right, anything that's brain-related even, right, anything that's brain-related, AI can do it faster than you, right? Now, as they start building these technologies, so now if you're only relying on physical labor, if you don't own real estate, that's paying you residual income. If you're not trading on the market, right, that's one of the best things that I think I've done with my money was, you know what, instead of just using the money to buy things, my wife and I was like, let's put some money in the market. And so now, on a monthly basis, we make a lot of money off of money. You know what I'm saying? Off of just playing the markets, right? And so it doesn't matter about our physical labor. In fact, you know, I truly believe technology is gonna make the rich richer and the poor poorer, right? Because guess what? Now when, like, think about the, like, Waymo, right? Waymo is a-
That's who I was talking about. Right, that's right? The car. So I got a video, I gotta drop it. I'm like, yeah.
Right. So think about this, right? So now I could be upset at Waymo and be like, oh my God, it's autonomous cars, or I can invest in Waymo. Right, I can invest in Uber. I can invest in the technology. And so as these technologies are growing, I'm making money off of the companies. You know what I'm saying? And so I do agree that, you know, jobs are going to be obsolete. But we have to learn how to monetize our intellectual property, our brains. Right. Because, again, that's the one thing I don't think that AI could do. They can't they can't be us. Right. Like even a lot of my audiobooks, I'm using AI to read my audiobooks that you would think is me, right? But you could tell it's not. If you know me, you could tell it's not me.
She's using HeyGen?
No, I'm using 11 Labs.
Okay.
Right? So 11 Labs lets me create my voice professionally. Yeah. And the only thing, though, not yet. I don't know if it's able to do it yet. But, you know, sometimes I talk slow. Sometimes I talk fast. Sometimes I'm louder. Right? So there's different aspects of my voice, of how I orate that it can't do yet. And so that's why,
We talking about 3-6 months, it'll probably be doing it.
It probably could do it.
Yeah.
And that's going to be a blessing for me. Because guess what? I'm going to be doing courses. Because speaking of HeyGen, salute to Sonia, a student loan doctor. Yo, she put me on a HeyGen. And I'm looking. I'm like, yo, that's not you. She like, nah.
Yeah.
And so you could actually do courses. So imagine that, right? Imagine you do a course and you see me, you hear me, you think it's me, but I'm in Dubai somewhere just chilling on jet skis.
Yeah.
That's how you do it.
He said Dubai with jet skis. Man, it's getting crazy, bro. Yeah. So more of this, make sure they get tapped. We need to do like a workshop showing people how to do something around books, man.
1,000%.
We gotta set that up.
And I think that's the other piece of it though too. And I agree with you that we gotta do a workshop because I think people think that the hardest part of writing a book is writing the book. That's not the hardest part. The hardest part is selling the book.
That's a fact. Right?
The hardest part is making people care.
And being consistent.
Cause so there's so many innovative ways to sell books. Like I constantly promote my books every single day. There's events that you could do.
Let's give the people 5-6 ways they could sell their book.
Yeah, so I would say number one, social media, right? It's the easiest way. But social media, always implant your book into current events, right? So anything that's happening, find a way to insert your book. And so, like, I'll give you a prime example. Like, I showed y'all my Jay-Z book. Every time I post about
Jay-Z. Did you make
Jay-Z,
a Diddy book?
Was it?
Did you make a Diddy book?
I have one, though. I might, so I'm actually waiting for the trial to be over to do the Diddy book. But the Diddy book is going to be about sex. It's going to be how I'm going to go in history and show how sex took powerful people down. Mm. And I'm going to connect it to, that's why I'm waiting for the trial to be over, because it'll be public record so I can see all the allegations and what they said. So depending on what happens, I am going to do a Diddy book. I am. You got to, because I think there's also lessons in that. You know what I'm saying? but think about that, right? So every time Jay-Z, I post something on Jay-Z, it goes viral, right? And all I do is I write on a bottom caption, this, you know, whatever it is, I say, this is why I wrote a book called The Wake Up Call, Financial Lesson Learned for 444. I use ManyChats, which is a AI automation. And I say, you know, comment the word HOVA, H-O-V-A. And then they comment the word HOVA and people buy the book. You know what I'm saying? So I think that use current events to sell books, number one. Number two, which is the best kept secret. I don't really tell people this a lot, but the best kept secret is to sell your book in bulk. Find organizations that your message aligns with. Because think about it. You could try to sell hand to hand, but if you could sell 1,000 books, right? Like my friend the block at a bank, I think I made $30,000 from one customer off of that book. Wow. Because
that's game changer.
Right. The book resonates with their audience. So that's another way. Audio books, right? So people only think about physical. I say every book that you write should be an audio, because again, there's Uber drivers, there are Lyft drivers, there are
me. Right? I primarily only listen to
only
audio.
Listen to audio. People that
write on Audible.
Car. Right. So that's way number three to sell your book. Book clubs are underrated. I think that you should find book clubs, find people who still gather.
Look at Oprah.
Right. Oprah.
If she put you on your book club,
go crazy. Right. And so you know book clubs number four. Another way is live events. I would say do live events. I think people don't give credit to live events, right? So if you do a live event, somebody's having a conference, get a table, because also the visibility of it it works as well. And here's the other thing about the live events. A lot of people think that they only work offline, but the offline stuff that you do translates online as well, right? So imagine you do a book signing. Imagine you do a live event and you have a table or whatever, and you're showing people pictures of your book and talking about your book or whatever. That FOMO, that thing that makes people look. One of my good friends says that people always want to be the first to be second. Right. So what that means is that most people are not going to go out and be the first one to buy it. But once they see somebody else doing it, they want to be the first person to be second. Yeah. Right. And so when you start showing that you pop and that you got motion with the book, people start getting that FOMO and they start purchasing the book. So I think if you follow any of those, and I do those on a continuous basis, so it's not just like one offs. Radio, I'm on the radio every Monday, fetch out the DD in the morning. People, I don't even promote that. I don't have to promote that, yeah. Right? Because at the end of the day,
there or you call in.
From, yeah, I call in. Okay. So I call in.
So you can do that from the crib,
from the house. They're in 90 markets, right? So every Monday, they're like, Money Mondays with Ash Cash. And so I remember, one of my friends was in Houston, and they're like, yo, Ash, I just heard you on the radio, right? Something I do, right? And then people hear me, and they're like, how can I find you? I tell them to go get my book. So there's so many different ways. And that tactic that I just gave you, that was a bonus. But that tactic is just called, buy or borrow traffic. Right? Borrow somebody else's traffic. Somebody else got the traffic.
That's the game.
Just borrow it. Yeah.
Powerful, bro. Man, thank you for coming on here and sharing.
Yes, sir.
How to cement your legacy. One last thing I want to talk about, man, just because we met a young man, Cedric the businessman.
Yes, sir.
We met him at a park. We were feeding a home. No, we doing meals.
Yeah.
You literally recorded his story and went and did a book in the next day or 2 days.
That's so
following
powerful,
your formula.
That following that formula, right? And so literally off of a 3-minute conversation, we were able to get his book written, published, was able to use ChatGPT to get the cover done from a picture that I took of
you
him.
Use chat on that cover? That cover was hard,
yeah,
too.
And it was good, though, because he's so young.
Yeah.
It made his face look like a cartoon, which kind of, coincides with what he does. So, when I tell you, and we were able to do that in a weekend.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? And so now he has a physical product that he could go around and sell that it'll live forever, because it's actually dropping real game that anybody could use to be an entrepreneur and be a good salesperson.
That's cool.
So it's a powerful tool.
Powerful. Bro, thank you so much for coming on.
My pleasure.
Let everybody know, Ash, how they could connect with you.
Yo, go to my website, iamashcash.com. Follow me on all social media platforms, at iamashcash. Look, if you want to work with me, right, because I work with selective people, but if you want to work with me, go to kingofselfpublishing.com. It'll have all the information on how you and I could work together. You got to get your book. Your story matters. Somebody right now is waiting for you. They're actually waiting for you because you're their messenger. You went through what you went through, not for you, right? It was for somebody else. It happened to you, but not for you. So make sure you give out that story. Somebody needs you. Somebody's praying for you. You are somebody's manifestations come true. So get that book done.
Listen, y'all, and I just want to reiterate it. Listen to me. It's better to have a book and not need it than need a book and not have it. I remember speaking at this event, ClickFunnels, Ash, and they said, hey, would you like to put books on all the chairs, 6,000 chairs? Absolutely, I would. Yeah. Guess all we had to do was just send it to print.
That's it.
Because we already had it.
That's it.
So don't think any longer about getting a book. Make sure you get with Ash. Immediately, all the description, all the details will be in the comments, and we'll see you on the next class we do. We'll see you when you get a book with Ash, and I can't wait for you to be a best-selling author. Peace.
The quickest way to cement your legacy right now, if you're a coach, consultant, course creator, or a business owner, is to write your own book. You have to find a way to separate yourself from what everyone else is doing. I want you to go to kingofselfpublishing.com right now to check out my brother Ashcast. This guy has published over 20 or 30 books and has helped hundreds of people just like you get into the game. Go to kingofselfpublishing.com right now and see how he can help.